Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Mike Novak is another American gardening great, and thanks to our colleagues on Gardener's Question Time for introducing us to him.
The Mike Novak Show
goes out every Sunday lunchtime on
Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
It's a fun and informative couple of hours of expert chat. And every so often, the host, Mike Novak, sounds off about a pet hate.
Fellow gardeners, I will tell you how insidious, how serious a menace Latin is. Even though Latin is a dead language, folks, it's been dead for centuries, it is taking over our way of life, taking over our gardens like mint takes over our gardens. To that end, my fellow gardeners, I am hereby announcing that today's very, very truncated show due to Cubs baseball and all future shows will be in English only. Comprende? Believe me, fellow gardeners, it is for your own good. You need to be protected from trying to pronounce things like Camycipris nutcatensis. On my show, that will never, ever happen. Good afternoon, and good luck.
Mike Novak signing off, the Ed Murrow of gardening.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Esfoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMaio weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with angels. Here he is, Mike Novak.
What'd she mean by that? And she isn't even here. Boy, oh boy. Heather Fry.
This is Heather.
Heather, you've changed.
I'm trying to not skip a beat here for you, Mike.
Antonio is in the studio.
How's it going?
All right. It's great to have him here, usually with Dick Kay on Saturday afternoons.
It's great to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Once more with enthusiasm, Antonio.
It's great to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning.
You sound nothing like Heather.
Yeah. Sorry, I tried. Sorry, Heather.
She's asleep. You know, she's... Her poor William was doing the hurling act, and I don't mean curling as in the Olympics. I mean hurling yesterday. So she called me and said, I don't think I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah, she sent out an all-points bulletin to everybody.
I know. It's like, please, I've got child problems. I need somebody to fill in for me.
Yeah.
So, oh, well. And, of course, at the top of the show, that little bit, it was an oldie but a goodie. I don't even work at a place that has baseball, and I'm not on in the afternoons anymore. But every now and then, you know, I got to trot out the old stuff, because that was, the BBC actually picked up, on that broadcast, and they aired it on BBC Four in Great Britain. And that, I was really impressed by that, by their understanding talent, you know, But no, it was. I was flattered that they picked out and ran that for a little while. So, welcome.
Good morning. What happened to spring, Jennifer Brennan?
Oh, it's still out there. It's
still out
there. Yeah, I mean, we've got gorgeous plants at Chalet. It's, you know, we've got pansies.
Notice, she's 20 seconds into it and gives Chalet the big plug. All right.
Well, I mean...
It's the triangle method. You got to get the important stuff out there first, and then, you know...
Yeah. I have a feeling we'll hear the word Chalet a couple more times during the broadcast.
But the plants, there's English daisies there. There's the Persian buttercups. It just looks so gorgeous. And so you can just ignore the snow. Just go look at the plants, you know?
Okay, we will do that. Actually, it's sort of a lesson about spring. And by the way, Jennifer Brennan is information specialist. What do they call it? Horticulture information specialist?
You got it. That's
right.
It. Uh-huh.
I even got it right. I remember this.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it. She works up at Chalet, and she's the kind of the co-host today. For the whole 2 hours, we are going to answer gardening questions and talk gardening stuff. I'm going to do a little environmental stuff in the second hour. We'll talk a little bit about Earth Hour with Alicia Ontiveros from EcoChat. Because Earth Hour is next Saturday at 8:30 p.m. local time, and that's when you're supposed to dim your lights, turn off the lights, turn off whatever you can.
Cool.
In honor of the Earth. And the question I'm going to ask Alicia and ask listeners to talk to me about is, does this make sense? I mean, does this really send a message? How many of these days can we have before we become so saturated with special event? I mean, for instance, the original Earth Day. Yeah, I'm all in favor of that. That's got a tradition and a history, and when that was first done in 1970, there was nothing like it. Mm-hmm. Now it's like every day it's Earth Day, or World Water Day is Monday. All right, I'll talk about that a little bit, to talk about water problems in the world. But again, do we water these down? Ba-dum-bum. Where's the bell?
I don't
have the rim shot. Where's the bell? Here it is. All right. I said, do we water these down by having too many of them? I don't know. So we will talk about that. And if anybody wants to call, 773-838-9278. 773-838. Is that you know who that probably is calling, Antonio? That's probably Amtrak Tim. And if it is, I'm going to talk to him today. So 773-838-WCPT. If you've got a garden question or you want to talk about one of these issues that we bring up in the course of the day, please do. And as I said, the lovely, the vivacious, the fastest talking woman in horticulture, Jennifer Brennan is
in
studio. And you don't know this because you haven't seen it. Did you know you have a caricature on my homepage?
How cool.
You want to come around here and see this? Just take those headsets off.
Can I walk with these on?
Okay. Yeah, no, you'll strangle yourself if you do. Come around here. Look at this.
Wow.
Have you ever had a caricature?
You got my lipstick just right, too.
Well, that was...
I've never had a caricature.
Sometimes we call it an avatar, but...
Thank you. An avatar.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
And there's one of me and one of Jennifer. Go to
my... And my eyelash is just right, too.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, I didn't do that. Kathleen did that.
Wow.
Who's the webmaster and who...
How flattering.
I know.
She
does these caricatures every now and then and puts them on the website.
Wow.
And, I thought it was pretty flattering.
And she even got earrings, too.
She got all
the details.
Well, you're really
the
excited.
The good thing is just my head.
Well, I told her that she had to have your lips moving very fast. Okay. But she couldn't work out that part of it because you are the fastest talking woman in horticulture.
Thank you, Mike.
And right below it is something interesting. There's a YouTube clip. Have you seen this, Antonio? I don't know if you have.
Is it the commercial that you did?
Yeah, the DNR commercial.
Yes, I've seen that.
I shot a commercial. Yeah, as you know, I do some acting, and mostly when I'm pretending to be a garden expert.
that was bad.
Yeah, well.
That was bad.
It's true. But Ron Cowgill, who hosts the Mighty House show, which will be on at 10 o'clock today with Joe Builder, has a real business called DNR, and he advertises on my show, and he advertises elsewhere, and he shot a commercial, which I'm in. And it's really kind of fun. So click on the website, MikeNovak.net. It's right there. We put the YouTube version up there, and, you know, maybe it'll become a series. I'll become famous like the Geico lizard.
Or
Gecko.
Or Victory Auto Records?
Yeah.
Records?
Oh, that's terrible.
I love the Victory Auto Records guy because that car, that commercial has been on for 30 years,
yes.
All right? You look at that car, and that's like a 1973 something, you know?
Yeah, you can't even tell what it is. The kids nowadays probably wouldn't even, what kind of car is that? They used to have cars like that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. I have been to Victory Auto. I have prowled in back in the day when I was looking for car parts.
Mm, God.
Back in the day, I've never owned a new car in my life, okay? And I probably never will.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, that's not an earth-friendly thing to do.
Well, if you have a Prius, it'll help. Of course, if the accelerator gets stuck, no, you're not going to want that either. So I have been to Victory Auto. What do they call it? Victory Auto Parts. I don't know. And prowled around. That's scary. You know what? Before you go into a place like that, get your tetanus shot.
Watch out for junkyard dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know where I used to go is you pick up parts. And they have the cars up on little stilts, like mm-hmm. metal pipes,
mm-hmm.
because everybody comes in and, you know, tears them
and
apart and everything.
Under
and yeah,
and
you crawl mm-hmm. underneath mm-hmm. it, and you're like, oh, my God, am I putting my life in the hands?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Absolutely. How did we get off of that? All right, go to my website, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net, and you can see the lovely Jennifer Brennan in caricature along with Mike Novak and my new DNR commercial. And by the way, let me just put in a commercial for DNR. Great, great people. Ron's done stuff for me. I've paid him. He doesn't do it for free. but they're good people, and they do good work, and that's the idea is, you know, let's keep Mighty House going. Let's keep Ron going. Let's keep all of us going. I like this this left-wing capitalism stuff. This is great. This is okay with me. See, capitalism in a good way, in a benevolent way, unlike some other kinds of capitalism. All right, let us go to, I don't know what I'm talking about. Let us go to live, and we're going to get to gardening in just a second, Jennifer. We've got 2 hours.
Cool, yeah.
And it's going to go by really fast.
And did you know that I have a YouTube? I finally have respect for my 22-year-old son because it's called Bug Detectives at Chalet.
Oh.
And it's me with my microscope.
And did he shoot it?
No.
Oh.
No. We had.
Oh, you have respect from.
I got respect from him.
For being on YouTube.
Yeah, I went home and said, did you know I'm on YouTube? Yeah, right, Mom. And he checked it out. He came back and goes, wow, that's cool. That's cool.
Well, then I have to go take a look at that.
Oh, you'll love it.
Let's first talk to Amtrak Tim. How are you,
Mike? I'm doing just fine.
Great. How was your trip to New Orleans the other week?
It was excellent, excellent.
How is the city of New Orleans? See, for those of you, I should explain this because Amtrak Tim is on the show pretty often, and he's usually the first caller of the day because he's the only one up at this point on
a show. Is he on an Amtrak train when he calls?
What was that, Tim?
You have two regular listeners.
That's right, two regular listeners. I can't remember who the other one is, but Jennifer wanted to know if when you call, you're on an Amtrak.
I haven't done that yet. I should try that sometime.
Yeah. Oh my! How did he get that name?
Because he's a proponent of rail travel.
Oh,
loves Amtrak. Amtrak, and usually gives us reports on the status. And so what have you got for us today, Tim?
Cool.
Two news items. Well, first off, remember I talked to you guys a while back about the chefs going back on the trains?
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
And the crab cakes coming back from New Orleans were excellent because now they're actually being grilled as opposed to just microwaved, which was kind of nasty.
Oh,
yeah.
I love crab cakes.
And then on the way down, they also have back the real steak is back. They got rid of the pot roast. There's real steak again.
Wow.
But I had the shrimp and it was a shrimp and corn chowder, which was pretty good on the way down.
Hmm. Okay.
But the real reason I called, in addition to the, was Illinois Senate Bill 2571, which passed, which sets up the Illinois Midwest High Speed Rail Commission.
Ah.
So we should, we'll be seated here shortly and we should get next year a recommendation out of that commission on how we're going to put in the high-speed rail lines here in Illinois and interconnect them with the various states, you know, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, so on and so forth.
And does that take advantage of the funds that are coming to Illinois?
Exactly. Exactly.
That the Obama administration has allocated over $1 billion, right?
We're getting, I believe, $2.2 billion of the $8 billion that was put up for high-speed rail.
Right. California's getting the bulk of it, and we argued about this before, saying that, I mean, not argued, you and I actually are in agreement, that it's better, we think it's better served in the Midwest because there's so many connecting points here.
Well, not only that, something the Midwest has done, especially Chicago, but the whole Midwest, we didn't let Amtrak and our rail service die.
Right.
So we have stations. There is a station in Elkhart. There is a station, you know, in Chicago. There's a station in Galesburg. There's a station in Springfield, which are still workable, used presently stations. A lot of these places, they're going to have to build brand new from scratch AmShacks as opposed to keeping the old beautiful traditional stations.
Yeah, right, right. And it's there's so many of those stations. You know, I was in Southwest Michigan the other week. And some of those small towns, a lot of the small towns along the tracks have those old stations. And you think, oh, my goodness, you know, at one time the train stopped at every station and because they all have these. And it's a shame that that doesn't happen anymore. But that's great news, Tim. I appreciate what. Give us the name of the bill again.
I just have the number for it.
The number's fine.
Well, it was I think it's the Illinois and Midwest High Speed Rail Commission bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's Senate Bill 2571 and did pass, actually resoundingly. Only two people voted against it in the Senate.
And has it passed the House or is it off to the House?
It's off to the House.
Okay. Well, let's hope
it should pass through there, and we should. Quinn has been very, very supportive, so I'm sure it'll sail right through. If we don't put this commission together, we have no way to intelligently spend the $2.2 billion we got. So
it makes a lot of sense to me. All right, Amtrak Tim, always a pleasure to hear from you. You can go back to bed if you want.
Oh, no, I'm up working, yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Have a good day, Mike.
You too. Bye. This is the Mike Novak Show. Oh, cut him off. Sorry. Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. I'll tell you what, I have to take a short break here. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what it means. Jennifer Brennan from The Chalet has, and it's been a long time since you've been on the show. I'm trying to remember
about
last
a year,
time.
I
really?
Think.
Has it been a year?
Uh-huh.
Brought in all kinds of cool stuff.
Goodies.
Yeah, goodies.
Show and tell.
It is. There's a little bit of that going on.
I guess it's tell and tell on radio, though.
That's true. Well, we could show here, but it's not going to do anybody any good.
The
listeners listening.
Can look at their radio if they want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Show Mike and tell. Uh-huh.
Look really hard at your radio, and you'll see dials and knobs, and that's probably it. Now, I tend to take issue with people trying to grow rhododendrons in and around Chicago. That's one of my pet peeves. The problem, basically, soil. There's other problems. It's too alkaline here. Azaleas and rhodies like acid soils. But did you know that it is possible to grow beautiful azaleas and rhododendrons around here with the help of a plant food that's safe for your family, pets, and the environment? And Jennifer knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Hollytone. And she's got some. She brought in some Espoma products. Hollytone is from Espoma, Espoma, and it's the original acid-loving plant food. Hollytone's blend of natural organics provides a safe, long-lasting feeding. And now Hollytone contains biotone beneficial microbes for even better growth and color. All natural Hollytone is low in salts, so it won't burn plant roots and it won't leach out of the soil with the next drain. One application of Hollytone lasts for months and even improves your soil. There's no mess or bother with mixing or hose end sprayers. Just sprinkle Hollytone around your plants and watch the results. You apply it in the spring and the fall. What could be easier? Hollytone, the number one choice for azaleas, rhododendrons, and other acid-loving plants for over 50 years. I think the very first bag of Hollytone you gave me. I believe you did.
Love
that was years ago.
Hollytone.
For more information about Hollytone and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA1 or go online to espoma.com, E-S-P-O-M-A.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bobex. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bobex repellent sprays. Bobex guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bobex repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bobex's unique deterrent ingredients are all-natural and are environmentally friendly. Bobex won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bobex at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bobex. To learn more about Bobex, go to Bobex.com. That's B-O-B-B-E-X.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Okay, Antonio's giving me critiques of my commercials here. So, but they're good critiques, right?
That's right. I was saying that it's a great and fantastic and fabulous commercial.
You're welcome back anytime. Anytime.
Sorry, Heather.
Sorry, yeah, Heather. Stay with William. It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, and they are a new sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. Happy to have him here. Now, of course, Wally Schmidtke is not really a doctor, but he sometimes wears a white lab coat in the garden center. He doesn't like it very much, but he does. Anyway, Wally says that it's still very early in the gardening season, and your first consideration should be to be patient. Take a look outside. It snowed yesterday. Don't work in your planting beds if the soil is wet. Working wet soil causes compaction and closes vital air pockets. Wait until you can form a fist around a handful of soil. Tap the ball of soil. If it crumbles with ease, it's time to get to work. And the folks who can help you with that work are at Pesci's in Des Plaines, family-owned since 1924. For instance, you're looking for seeds? Pesci's has flower, veggie, and herb seeds from the Livingston Seed Company, as well as their organic veggie line. They also have organic heirloom veggie and flower seeds by Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. And if you want something out of the ordinary, there's the Vita Cementi Taste of Italy Veggie and Herb Seeds Collection and the Exotic Seed Collection by Thompson and Morgan. And next hour, I'm going to list some of the veggie starter plants that are ready to be put into your garden. Pesci's grows their own, so come to the grower where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off 294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online, and you can get a map there too, at www.pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. You know what? I forgot to have, usually at this point, I play a little musical bump, and I forgot all about having that ready, and this is asleep. I don't even... we'll just start talking. I'll have it ready. You know, see, Antonio, if you were running the board, you would have had that ready to go, and it would just been bam, and
I would have played
all professional-like and everything, but here I am. So, you know, talking about the garden and being ready to go, we all got faked out by this past week, which was so beautiful, and my crocuses are blooming, and my daffodils were just about to pop, and of course it snowed. But I walked out the door this morning, and it's not stopping my cornice mass, which just starting to pop. The buds, the cornice mass is a cornelian cherry.
Don't you love that plant?
It's a beautiful plant.
I just love it.
It's one of the earliest blooming.
Bright yellow.
Right. Bright yellow.
Oh, man, it's great.
Just about to bloom, but it didn't seem bothered by, and you know what? We're going to have Rick DeMaio weather in just a few minutes, he's going to tell us that it's going to get warm again, you know?
And these spring plants are fine with this. They're used to that. It's just us humans that have trouble.
Well, the thing is, nothing we've had in the last couple of days has been devastating.
It's not extreme.
No, it's not extreme.
Is this freezing temperatures? Big deal.
Yeah. So we can
It slows them down, which is nice. That means the spring things will last longer.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it, too.
I love it. I'd rather have it last longer.
It's like putting the flowers in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. When you do this, it slows them down.
They woke up last week, so we all got to smile, and they did, too. I must have 500 snowdrops in my garden. It is so cool.
You know what?
I love snowdrops.
I have never planted snowdrops, and I don't know why.
I love them.
Maybe it's because they're white. You know, it's like in the snow, you're going to see green, but then you'll see white. I love the crocuses. I'm kind of a crocus guy.
But so do rabbits, darn it.
Well, I don't have that problem in the city.
That's true. You're a lucky person.
And I wasn't sure I was going to tell this story, but I have to tell this story, okay? Because this is gardening in the city.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a gardening.
I can imagine.
It's a gardening in the city.
Starts with an R.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Starts with an R, ends with an ATS.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had seen everything in the yard until this week.
Oh, no.
Yes. So.
Oh, no.
Kathleen and I are home, and it's about 10 p.m.
Oh.
And we're hearing this noise outside. I went, oh. Now who's out there? Okay. So I go out to the front, and I'm going, nobody's there. And I go around to the back, and I hear this kind of clawing and scraping. I'm going, now what? Okay, there's a rat around here someplace doing something. Well, what had happened was I have one of these pots that's like a bowl. You know, that you it's a shallow uh-huh. bowl that and you fill it in it's a container that you can put out on a stand or on the porch or something. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a shallow bowl, not the deep pots that you, but a nice bowl pot. Well, this numbskull rat had apparently been fooling around with this thing and flipped it over.
And was on top of him?
It was on top of him.
Wow. Oh, no.
And he couldn't figure out how to get out.
Did you lift it up to let him out?
Well, here's the deal. I go back in and I say, Kathy, we got a rat under a bowl. Now, I got two choices here. I can put something heavy on it
and just leave him there to die
an agonizing, painful death.
Oh.
Or I can flip it out because, you know, one more rat's not going to make a huge difference in this neighborhood. And so, you know, and I realized I couldn't just leave the rat there, so I had to go back out. And I took my little pitchfork thing, digger, and just flipped it. And he went, and I went, and we both ran in different directions.
Was this after the snow had all melted? So that was last week in the nice weather.
It was in the nice weather. It was the last night of the nice weather.
Oh, my. And he was uncomfortable being out probably during the daytime.
I don't know what he was doing, but how did he flip this container on his head? I don't know. And I just thought, now I've seen it all. I've seen everything in the garden that you can possibly see.
Gardening
in the city. You got to love it. All right. We need to get Rick DeMaio on the phone, and we will get back to Jennifer Brennan. And we're actually going to get to some tips.
Cool stuff.
I mean, you've got a table
I've
full of products.
I've got the neatest, coolest stuff. You're going to love it.
That's what she does best.
She does product stuff.
So are you familiar with Aldo Leopold? He's considered the father of wildlife ecology, a renowned scientist, scholar, teacher, philosopher, and writer. It's for his book, A Sand County Almanac, that Leopold is best known around the globe. Now, WRD Environmental would like you to remember something that Aldo Leopold wrote. He said, and this is a great quote, it makes me sound smart. That's why I like reading stuff like this. The outstanding scientific discovery of the 20th century is not television or radio, but rather the complexity of the land organism. Only those who know the most about it can appreciate how little we know about it. The last word in ignorance is the man who says of an animal or plant, what good is it? If the land mechanism as a whole is good, then every part is good, whether we understand it or not. If the biota, in the course of eons, has built something we like but do not understand, then who but a fool would discard seemingly useless parts? To keep every cog and wheel is the first precaution of intelligent tinkering.
That's why you let the rat go.
Yes.
That concept.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been influenced by WRD and and their quote about Aldo Leopold.
Yeah, he's Aldo Leopold is phenomenal.
Yes. At WRD Environmental, they not only appreciate the complexity of our region's ecology, but are dedicated to protecting, restoring, and healing it. WRD creates sustainable landscapes from large-scale master planning to community pocket parks. For innovative, sustainable landscape development, choose WRD Environmental, located at the Chicago Center for Green Technology, and online at WRDEnvironmental.com. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Jennifer Brennan from the Chalet is here with me all morning and getting to your gardening questions. But before we can get to gardening questions, we have to do weather so you know what's going on. Now, Mr. DeMaio? Mr. DeMaio, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I heard it sounded...
I can hear the clicks.
I thought maybe you were on the computer there. It sounded like you...
Yeah, I was actually clicking my phone, and I forgot to charge it last night. So you got to get the phone clicked. Get a good click.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get you... I got to get... You know, we got to set up an ISDN line in his apartment.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know how much spare change I have, right, Rick?
Change, that's what I call it.
Yeah, really.
Change is good, by the way. You remember that, right?
What's that?
Change is good.
Oh, yeah. Like change from winter into spring.
Yeah, but I don't think the weather maps heard what the astronomical relationship of the sun and the earth were telling it yesterday. It's pretty amazing, Mike. You know, we average about 6.5 inches of snow a year. So it was kind of about time that we had some snow in the month of March. I should say 6.5 inches of snow in the month of March is what I meant to say.
Yes.
So it was kind of about time that we had something like that because we had not had any snow in Chicago since way back on the 24th of February. So we went literally almost 3.5 weeks without any snowfall. So it was kind of fun because I had three different appointments yesterday, one with my son's dentist, two others where people walked in. I walked in and people looked at me and said, "Do you really want to show your face on a day like today?" And I was like, "Well, there's really nothing I can do about it. I'm just forecasting it." But it was a pretty amazing event to go from 65 degrees on Friday to 2.5 to 3 inches of snow in some places yesterday, Mike. It was pretty amazing.
I know, and I was out downtown. Mm-hmm. And
it was awful out.
It was nasty. It was like getting pelted with gravel.
Right. Someone, I had watched Channel 5, and their opening newscast. Yeah, they were interviewing people on the street, and they said, "This is the worst it's been all year." And you know what? I think partly because, and we've talked about this before, you know, human perception is reality, right? And in these kind of situations where you hadn't had any real true wintry weather in like maybe 2 months in about 4 weeks, but you know, we had gone a while without that true winter weather, but I think people let their guard down, they're not dressed for it, feel that warmth on your face and you think it's going to be that way,
yeah,
you know, for the next 2 or 3 months, and all of a sudden you get that. But on top of that, it was that cold kind of raw wind, and the snow, like you said, was almost, you know, had some sort of like a pellet quality to it. And even where I live up on the lake on Rogers Park, and the wind was blowing about 40 miles per hour, I was like, "Ah, this is just awful." Whereas sometimes when it's, you know, 20 degrees out and snowing, and you know, it's, you're dressed for it, you have that kind of insular feeling, you know, on the inside. You're going out, you're going to attack the weather. This stuff yesterday, I went out with a leather jacket and a baseball cap, and I was like, "This sucks."
Yeah, and you know that when the the weather guy is out there saying this sucks, it's not good.
That's real technical too.
I know. I should. And I apologize.
No, it's okay.
It was. I promise not to say that during Lent. But it was.
We'll pray for you.
Yes, we will. We made Rick DeMaio break his Lenten promise. Now, how sad is that?
Yeah, I know. But you know, in some places it was worse. Denver had a high of 70 on Thursday. And then they had 6 inches of snow in the city itself and about 2 feet in the foothills. But eastern Colorado so needed this because they were actually in a snow drought for almost about 2 months. And there was a, there was some concern going into the growing season that, you know, dry weather in eastern Colorado and the foothills usually promotes an early start to their fire season. So this is actually kind of helping out from an agricultural standpoint for them.
That's good,
those, yeah. Yeah, even those parts of the Southern Plains, like Oklahoma City had a high of 75 on Friday and then had 4 inches of snow yesterday, breaking their all-time seasonal total. This is even though it's snow, it's good, solid moisture for the ground. So many of the southern and central regions of the United States going into the growing season, Mike, with beneficial moisture. So even though it's snow, it's good for the ag people very, very much.
And it goes in the ground really slowly when it's snow. It doesn't wash away.
Right, yeah, good point there, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. One of these things where this time of the year, and you know what? It's interesting because I was talking to my brother last week. He's from the New York area, and he was amazed at how many trees were blown down across the East Coast. Not so much the East Coast per se, but in the Long Island, New York metropolitan area. He's a photographer. He goes out and shoots for a lot of magazines. And he said, Rick, I've never seen so many trees blown down, particularly in late March, well, mid-March, when you don't have any leaves on the trees. You would think they have a better chance of not becoming, you know, kites, so to say, where the wind fills the leaves and kind of makes them somewhat, you know, buoyant. But because they had so much rain and snow in the prior two events, and they had basically no Arctic air this winter, the ground was actually very soft. When they had 50-60 mile per hour winds, the trees, and some of the pictures that he took, and I'll send them to you, Mike, it wasn't like the trees snapped off. They literally took the entire sidewalk with them.
Yeah. You know, I've seen this before, and that's in the Pacific Northwest, where it rarely freezes. And then you have a windstorm come through, and those trees just go up like matchsticks, or go down like matchsticks. They're just all over the place. You know, and funny you should say this, because I was talking to Tony Brueger at the Care of Trees just the other day, and I said, so, you know, how's everything going? He says, oh, well, here it's not much happening, but all of our crews are out east.
Right.
They've had to lend out all of these tree crews to the East Coast because there are so many trees down right now.
Yeah, that was one thing my brother was saying. He was saying, why do I see Indiana Power Light and Michigan Power Light in Long Island? I'm like, that's because you guys need help.
Yeah.
Basically, they needed to have more people out there, or at least I should say other crews out there to assist in removing the trees and also rebuilding some of their, you know, some of their grids. So, yeah, this is a pretty amazing event even for them. And, you know, when you look back, most of the worst snowstorms ever in the history of the United States actually occur in the month of March. Storm of the Century back in 1993, March 12th to March 16th, the blizzard of 1888 up and down the East Coast was right around that time, right around March 15th to March 18th. Not to say that this past storm for us here in Chicago was reminiscent of that, but you typically get some of your heavier snowstorms because the atmosphere is able to hold on to a little bit more water vapor. This time of the year, you tend to get your heavier snows. But I know we were talking about soil temperature last week, and a couple of people had actually emailed me and said, hey, I heard you on Mike Novak's show. Is there a way that I can get some of those soil temperatures, or can you read them off every week? And sure enough, the 4-inch soil temperature right now in Streamwood is reading 45 degrees. It's warmed up quite a bit. Wanata, which is in the northwest sections of Indiana, this is under bare soil, was reading 54 degrees. That's because they didn't have as much snow down there.
Wow.
So, and that's pretty impressive because one thing that I always tell people, it's not so much how warm the air temperature is. And you know, Mike, it's more so about the soil temperature.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, and so given those temperatures, Jennifer, what would that tell you about sowing seeds or putting plants in the ground?
That's the difference between the cool season tolerant crops and the warm season crops, and the line is 60 to 65 degrees. Warm season crops they just won't do anything if the soil temperature isn't 60 to 65, where cool season crops flourish in those at those temperatures. So, you know, so you can get out and plant lettuce and things like that when they're in the 40s and, you know, and peas. But the hardest thing to get people to understand is the difference between air temperature, ambient air temperature, and soil temperature. And when you talk temperature, you really have to keep emphasizing it. This is soil temperature when you're talking about plants.
And I like that idea of you giving a soil temperature report, especially during the spring, Rick, because this will be very helpful for people, especially when we get to that point where we're going to be making the transition from the cool season crops to the warm season crops. So, anytime you want to give us that information. And what if people do want to track that down? Where do you get your information?
I get it from a couple of different sites. There's a couple of cooperative observers from the National Weather Service. They basically email me. It's kind of a personal email. But I can put that link on my site, Mike. It's basically going into the National Weather Service homepage. And when you click on climate, you have to go all the way down to a product called Regional Summary. And then that Regional Summary map, it's fairly easy to get to. Once you find it, it's pretty much there all the time. And it's just a matter of knowing what time of the day to get it, because they'll issue different products throughout the day. But they usually issue it first thing in the morning, and then they issue it again later in the morning. But it becomes very important. The Botanic Garden sends it out. In fact, the Botanic Garden was also reporting soil temperature underneath the sod, obviously where it's covered, of 54 degrees. So you have 45 degrees under bare soil and then 54 degrees under sod. So you can see how that sod is actually, you know, keeping that
darker color.
Whatever warmth they had over the last 4 or 5 days has really held on to it quite a bit. But I'm sorry, Jennifer.
I measure every Monday in my garden in Skokie, Evanston, and I thought I was the only geek that did that.
No.
So I'll email you, Mike.
All right. Send me whatever you've got there.
Sure.
Well, despite the weather yesterday, that's really not so unusual. This time of year, we can expect to have that kind of thing. As Jennifer and I were saying earlier, most plants are not going to have a problem at all dealing with this, especially the ones that are coming up on their own through the ground. I mean, yeah, if you had it, folks. Tomatoes are still 2 months away, so
don't even ask about tomatoes. You shouldn't even start them from seed until another week and a half.
So what do we got the rest of the week here, Rick?
It looks pretty good. Overall, we'll see some clouds and linger through the area today. Temperatures, I'd say primarily upper 30s lakefront, probably mid 40s well inland. Whatever snow that we had yesterday obviously is going to retard some of the warmth due to the fact that the sun is trying to melt the snow before it warms up the ground and warms up the atmosphere. But we'll call it probably, you know, right around 40 degrees for a high today. Average high is 47. We'll probably get closer to that during the day tomorrow with a ton of sunshine. And then probably up into the mid to upper 50s on Tuesday, maybe near 50 on Wednesday, Mike, before it cools down. Last week we were talking about the possibility of things cooling down quite a bit or this coming week, but looks like that warmth has been somewhat pushed back somewhat. I should say the coolness has been pushed back somewhat. Primarily, it's going to hold off until Thursday and Friday. We'll get readings probably back into the lower 40s, maybe even upper 30s. And it looks like, unfortunately, just in time for the weekend again, next Saturday and Sunday, back into another large-scale rain system where we have pretty much 48 hours of rain. And what we get this time of the year, and when people start to, you know, when you have weather events like this, it usually brings people back to watching TV weather. If the weather hasn't been too, exciting for the last 3 or 4 days. What you'll see a lot on weathercasts these days are these large-scale round systems that almost look like comet clouds. This is because the atmosphere is becoming somewhat detached. So what happens, Mike, is the jet stream pattern begins to move further northward, up into the northern latitudes, and what you have this time of the year is what are called cutoff lows. And these cutoffs generally develop because they don't have anything kind of coming underneath and lifting them out and pulling them out. So you typically get 2 or 3 days or 4 days of these round systems basically kind of slugging their way across the Midwest and the Northeast. So you'll see something like that probably develop next Friday. And probably stick around through Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So when people say, oh, my God, the weather stinks, it's been like this for 3 or 4 days, but then you'll get into 3 or 4 days of nice weather. So that's kind of like what spring is sometimes. You'll get patterns of good weather and patterns of bad weather.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you just happen to be in the right place at the right time,
It ain't San Diego. Okay.
No,
yeah, you know, and it's going to change. It's going to be variable, and I think we had just had a good lesson on this. All right. Well, it looks, some warmth, some chilliness this week.
Yeah, kind of March-like. Yeah.
Great.
Put it this way, I would safely say that this will be our last snowstorm of the year, and it better be, because for the local chapter of the American Meteorological Society, my winter prediction was 52.5 inches of snow. This event pushed us up to 53.9 inches. So hopefully I'll be able to win the contest. And I don't know what the prize is, but at least there's some say that I was the best, right?
Maybe the winner of the contest gets an ISDN line for his apartment.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Right. Or maybe a measuring stick.
That's Rick DeMaio. You can get his weather on our program on the Mike Novak Show every Sunday at 8:30, and go to DeMaioWeather.com. You can also link to it from my website, MikeNovak.net. Rick, always a pleasure.
Mike.
I hope I understand you a little bit under the weather. I hope you feel better.
A little bit of a cold. I think it'll go away very soon. And good talking to you, Jennifer.
Oh, nice to talk with you, too. Thank you.
Okay, bye, Mike.
So long.
Bye.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees with Money Tight. You're going to hear landscapers say, don't worry, I do tree care. When they say that, here's what you ask them. Are you a trained, educated, and certified tree professional? Because that's what you'll get with the Care of Trees. Their staff includes registered consulting arborists, certified arborists, and certified tree workers. They're trained in up-to-date technologies and techniques and use safe work practices. They follow the most progressive standards and guidelines for tree care work. They are also bonded and insured to protect you and their workers. Now, can you say that about Joe the landscaper? With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. The Care of Trees shares your enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life, and the Care of Trees combines that joy with a dedication to the utmost in client care, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Give them a call, 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, or go online to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Want to get a jump on saving your plants from insect problems early this spring? We're just about at the perfect time to start using Bonide's all-season spray oil. This oil can be used to control overwintering eggs of mites, scale, aphids, leaf rollers, galls, and more. It can be used now when your trees and shrubs are dormant. Actually, some of them are just beginning to pop. But you can apply it when the green tips appear, which is happening. I saw that on some. Or during the growing season. Bonide's all-season spray oil is part of their Garden Naturals line. It smothers most insect eggs that were left behind last year and are ready to be unleashed on your plants. It's easy to use, and it's not a poison. Instead, here's how it works. The thin film of oil covers the target insect or mite and plugs the spiracles or pores through which it breathes.
They don't have noses. They have holes on the sides of their bodies, and those are the spiracles.
See, I knew she would know that.
Isn't that fun?
The cause. She loves it. The cause of death is suffocation. While that may seem unpleasant, you can be assured you're not poisoning the environment. This is the year you're going green, right? Try All Seasons Oil. You can find it at Platt Hill Nursery in Carpentersville, Schwartz Nursery in Addison, Kinnish Village Greenhouse in Palatine, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of Bonide's garden naturals. Good morning. It's a little nippy out there, but you know what? It's spring, as Rick DeMaio said. You got to expect that kind of stuff to happen. It doesn't stop the plants from growing. It doesn't stop Jennifer Brennan from Chalet Nursery from pulling out all the goodies she's got. What do you got there? What do you what do you want to treat? Oh, you know what? Let's start with something you handed me before the show, okay? A couple of things that are really cool. All right, one is from Espoma, and they are a new sponsor on the show this year. And they've got this little pocket guide.
And it's called Natural Gardening Solutions. And it has the best information I've seen from any, like, commercial company doing this. You know, like things like why plants need fertilizer, and, you know, it gives the basics of plant nutrition and tips on how to compare labels and how to look at the difference between organics and earth-friendly naturals and synthetics.
Right, like, and types of plant foods I'm looking at, there's water-soluble, dissolves in water and releases nutrients immediately, or controlled release, nutrient release delayed by a coating or a chemical reaction, and then natural organics, digested by soil microbes, which release the nutrients in a form available to plants, and then it lists the kinds of things that are those particular kinds. I mean, this is awesome.
Now, is this cool?
Now, can you get this at Chalet? Are you handing these out?
We are, and we're going to hand them out at Garden Fair. We're having our big event on May 1st and 2nd, and we'll be handing these out at Garden Fair.
And you know what I'm going to do?
Is this cool?
I'm going to call the Espoma people and tell them to get me a bunch of these, because I could give these away on the program, and these are really valuable just to have something like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an information source for people to carry in their pocket, and, you know, it helps, you know, our customers and our plant, you know, aficionados really understand why all this works and why the natural gardening works, you know, why it's important.
And we just had a caller who didn't want to be on the air, but wanted to know about whether it's safe to put rhubarb in the ground.
Well, yeah, because you're going to be planting the roots and the tubers of it, and but you do want to wait for the soil to be dry enough. You know, you don't want to work the soil too early, because then you're going to ruin the structure of it. So
it's like
that's
we talked about
thing
earlier.
Is, you know, timing is okay. It's just the soil needs to be a little drier.
And that's something to take into account. And actually, the snow was kind of a good thing.
It was wonderful.
Well, it keeps people out of the garden smashing and compacting their soil, you know. It's Mother Nature's way of saying, get out of here. It's not time yet.
Well, wait. It's patience, you know. It teaches us patience.
But if you can do, like for me, I've got some areas in the backyard pretty close to the sidewalk, so I can lean over from the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I could, if the soil is not too wet, you could put some of those veggies in the ground that we're talking about
now. The cool season
vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And speaking of that, something else you gave me is something that Chalet is handing out. Well, they are handing out the Espoma thing, but this is a cute little, what do you call it? A garden planner.
It's a garden planner,
And it's
neat?
A slide.
It's like
a little scale or slide.
Like a
scaler.
Slide rule. But
slide
only
rule.
People as old as Mike and I remember
slide
rules.
Yeah, we know slide rules.
We saw pictures of it.
I used to use a circle slide rule, Mike.
Really?
I found it.
Antonio's seen pictures of slide rules on his on his iPhone.
Well, the antiques, and the antiques.
But slide rules are really cool. But this is great because it gives you, it tells you, it has the red line that's the average first fall frost, and the average on the other side last spring frost. And in Chicago, that's around May 15th.
Uh-huh.
All right. So then you set it to May 15th, and then you can look back to when you first, the FP means?
First plant outdoors.
So, for instance, I'm looking at onion sets. We're right at that point.
Right now.
Yeah.
Don't you love how all the crops, all your crops listed on the side?
Peas and spinach will be around April 5th or, at the end of the first week of April. And then the next week will be your cabbage, cauliflower, radishes, and turnips. And then beets, potatoes, and broccoli come around the third week in April.
It's an easy way for people to plan their garden and get everything out at the right time, you know, so that you get your harvest at the right time.
You know, as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing that why, when my dad was planting gardens, they never really, you know, came out. They never really worked out. And we planted everything all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm learning a lot right now.
There you go.
Timing wasn't right.
Timing is all.
He comes from the Caribbean, so, you know, the
weather's
always
down there.
You didn't have to worry about it then.
All right.
Well, we've got more of this. If you've got a question or comment, 773-838-9278. Now, in case you missed it, and it was easy to miss, spring started yesterday at 11:32 a.m., but don't be fooled by Mother Nature. Spring is really here, and you need to get ready to garden, and Sid's Greenhouses is ready to help you get started. If you haven't gotten your seeds started yet, geez, it's the time now. Sid still has a good selection of the best varieties, including USDA organics. If you don't have a yard to plant in, or even if you do, consider an earth box, the world's most revolutionary garden system. Use it to grow all sorts of vegetables or flowers with less fertilizer, less water, and certainly less effort. Now, if you're more of a tree person, it's a great time to check out the selection of fruit trees at SIDS. Shop early for the best selection. Right now, you'll save a dollar on every... Oh, wait, that's their bulbs. You save a dollar on every package when you buy four or more, and those are bulbs for summer. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For more information or to join their free email list for news, garden tips, and sale information, you need to visit SIDS online.
I am so glad you came with me. I'm not sure where to start. Our lawn is mostly weeds and lots of bare spots.
That's how our lawn looked last year.
Get out! Your lawn looks great. That's one reason I asked you to come today. But I'm afraid of using chemicals. You know, the kids and the dog.
Oh, I know. That's why we went organic.
Organic? Your lawn's organic and it looks that good?
Right? I didn't think it was possible till I heard this guy at an organic seminar. He was... Oh, my gosh. That's him. That's Jonathan Green.
Excuse me? Jonathan Green?
Yes?
Yeah, my friend just told me that you helped her go organic with their lawn care.
Well, it's really quite easy to do. Just feed the soil and let the soil feed the grass.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean.
Look here at my Natural Beauty lawn fertilizer. It restores lawn soil life and fertility. My organics grow a stronger, healthier, and more beautiful lawn.
Find your nearest dealer at jonathangreen.com.
All right, we're coming up on CNN News at the top of the hour. When we come back, Jennifer Brennan will continue to talk about what we're doing in the garden right now, and we'll talk about Earth Hour and World Water Day. Stick around.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes since 1997. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One day, maybe next week, I'm going to meet you.
Antonio is getting an education here today. See, this is not just opinions like on Saturday with Dick Kay. You know, people just have opinions about politics. We're learning about plants.
Knowledge.
I am experienced for the show. You know, I did take one botany class in college. So.
Did you really?
Yes,
where?
I did.
At SIU?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, how'd you guess?
Well, I'm wearing a T-shirt. He's wearing a T-shirt. Back from
psychic.
The Sweet 16 days, huh?
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
07, I think, if I remember correctly.
Was it?
How about Northern Iowa?
Yeah.
Don't you love those Midwest boys? I love that.
That was kind of fun, watching. And then St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Who did they beat? I can't remember, but it's just like the year of the underdog in the NCAA.
I got in on it a little bit late because I don't have TV. I can't afford TV. you know, with the great salary that we earn here.
And the HD thing has just messed us all up.
I finally got a TV that has HD built in, so I had to get rabbit ears. I didn't have any rabbit ears, so I was like, oh, March Madness is starting. I got to go get rabbit ears.
Folks, let me tell you something. If you have a son or a daughter or you yourself want to get involved in broadcasting, don't, okay? There's no money here. There's absolutely no money at all, but we love it. You know, the people who do this are geeks.
Yeah,
like you know,
you got to have a passion for it.
You do. Yeah. Heather has that. That's the great thing about Heather. She just loves radio, and I just want to sometimes shake her and say, "What's wrong with you?"
I want to shake myself and ask that question.
By the way, that's Antonio Carrera, and he's filling in for Heather Fry today. And Jennifer Brennan is in the studio, and yeah, we're learning all kinds of stuff. We're going to get to our discussion about Earth Hour in just a little bit, but. Jennifer's been champing at the bit here to show us some products, and she's got them lined across the table. And the great news about gardening these days is that there are so many natural and organic products available that didn't even exist 10 years ago.
Exactly. And while they existed, they just weren't put together.
Well,
the way
okay,
that
yeah, you're
them
right.
To
they
use.
Did. You're right, but yeah. it wasn't in the same there was the same quantity,
exactly.
You know. And now, even sometimes you go to the box stores, and I've noticed this at some of the box stores. You're in a checkout line in the garden department, and on your left are the all organic products, and on the right are all the chemical synthetics. And you have a choice to some degree, but if you really want the best products, you got to go to an independent garden center.
Well, it helps to have people that know what's going on too. You know, that can explain it.
Well,
you.
Yeah, and you yeah. want to be so you know, go to Pesci's, go to Sid's, go to the Chalet, those kinds of places, and you can ask questions, and they will tell you because Jennifer's up at Chalet, Wally Schmidtke from Pesci's, who just started being on the show, you know, fabulous people down at Sid's. And they know their stuff. And
we want to share it. You know,
exactly.
Share
so share so some cool. of this. You were telling me about this German company.
Yeah, it's called Neudorf. And you won't see it here unless you look on the backs of the labels. And you see this little sunflower with the name Neudorf. It's N-E-U-D-O-R-F-F. And they're the ones that make the active ingredients for most of the companies that have earth-friendly naturals. So like Espoma and Bonide and Concern, all the, you know, and when, if you look at the back side, you'll see that. And some of my three favorite ones are from the Espoma company. It's their earth tone line.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an insecticide. They have a 3-in-1 disease control, and then they have a weed killer. And I was really talking to you during the break about how cool this weed killer is. And it's an essential fatty acid.
She's really into weed killers.
It's essential
here.
Fatty acid. Well,
she's
people
got a smile.
For
yeah,
years, but you know, for years and years and years, when I've been on your show before, for years and years and years, people would ask for, you know, earth-friendly natural weed killers, and there were just none out there that were effective. This one works, but it is a non-selective, so you have to be careful about spraying it in the lawn because it'll kill, you know, any plant that it touches. But
if you're going to do a Roundup, that's going to do the same thing anyway.
Exactly.
And Roundup is not a natural, it's a glyphosate.
Yeah.
But this, what is the active ingredient here?
Well, it's an essential fatty acid. So what that does is it strips the cuticle off the leaves of the plant, and then they dry up. And so then that kills the top. And there are a lot of things out there that can kill the tops. But the weeds always come back from the roots. So this has got this, it's called maleic hydrazide, and it's actually derived from natural ingredients, but because it was chemically processed, we can't call this one totally organic, but it's earth-friendly natural, and that's what we need to train people to think in terms of earth-friendly natural, because you can have elements in that aren't organic, but they're earth-friendly.
All right.
You
know, well, how
so
do
this
peop-
is cool because you spray this on and it keeps the tops. It's absorbed in the top of the roots and the crown of the plant, and it keeps the shoots from coming back up again. And so then the roots just sit there and they don't have any food coming to them and they die and you lose the weed goes away.
Help me.
Is that cool?
Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No.
You know, my dad had an organic weed killer. It was me.
Make sure you get them from the roots.
Exactly.
But, all right, the point I want to make, though, is not everybody has your knowledge of these products.
Mm-hmm.
How do people keep from being greenwashed? and buying a product that they think is, A, organic when it's not, and you did explain that that's not organic, but it is natural.
It's earth-friendly.
Yeah.
Earth-friendly naturals.
How do you explain earth-friendly natural versus organic?
Thank you for asking that, because, you know, you can use an organic and, you know, like an insecticidal soap, and that's organic, but you have to spray it every time you see an insect there, and it kills not just the bad guys, it kills the good guys too. So it's not earth friendly. You know, you're going to kill, if you kill all your pollinators because you have to spray every day to get rid of it because, you know, you have to have a contact, it's not so earth friendly. So that's what people have to understand. And that's my biggest pet peeve about some of the attitude about green. You know, are you green and how green are you? And, you know, and you have to understand how these things work. So, you know, so by understanding it and understanding that it goes all back to, you know, integrated pest management. Use the most effective, you know, application to take care of the problem and not cause any side effects. So you have to go someplace where you can ask, you know, does this have a residue? How long does this last? Does this kill everything?
I'm going to go back to what you just said. You were talking about insecticidal soaps, which are among the most benign of products.
Right.
All right. And they're benign in that they don't.
There's no residue.
There's no residue, and it doesn't get into the groundwater. But as you said, they're indiscriminate, but almost. Aren't all of these insecticides pretty much indiscriminate? Because from what I understand, there's no such thing as a species-specific insecticide.
Well, let me move to the insecticides now, because...
As if on cue.
I love that segue.
Because Earthtone has an insect control product that is made from canola oil, and so it's organically derived, you know, so it's not processed from petroleum. That's another one of the things that all the greenies are really upset about is, you know, from petroleum. So this is derived from, you know, a grown crop, you know, canola oil, and then it also has pyrethrin in it. All right, so you spray it on, and while it's wet, it's effective, and it will kill anything. Okay.
All right. Explain what a pyrethrin is, though.
Okay, but pyrethrin is derived from a chrysanthemum plant.
Right.
And it's called the knockdown. You know, it's the knockdown insecticide. It kills insects, you know, immediately. It's called the knockdown. So it knocks them down, and then the oil penetrates through them and gets them. It's rid of them. But what's interesting, this combination of the pyrethrin and the canola oil is what they call Pyrol in with Neudorf. Okay, and
the German company,
and they do all this. They've done all this testing. It is the most effective for, you know, knocking the insects down. It dries quickly. So it doesn't stay wet. So if a butterfly flies along and lands on the same plant that you sprayed an hour and a half ago, it's not going to be affected. It'll be fine. And in sunlight, the pyrethrin breaks down in 1 hour. No residue. It's the knockdown. It knocks them. And then the oil gets them. And then it's dry and done. And so you spray when you have the problem, when you see the problem, and there's no residue, there's no casual bystanders that get affected. So, you know, that's what's really important. And you don't have that oily residue that can cause a phytotoxic response to the plants as well.
Yeah, you have to worry about is sometimes the products you put on the plant will hurt the plant.
Mm-hmm. And it causes them to get sunburned. That's just the quick thing of phytotoxic, you know, it causes them to get sunburned. And then this other one.
Wait, before you move on to that one, the one you were talking about, because I know people are going to ask, is called?
It is called, it's the Espoma Earthtone Insect Control.
Okay.
And so it's in a blue bottle. And they have them in a ready-to-use spray like this, or in a concentrate where you can make your own and put it in a big tank if you've got to spray a big area.
Now I should point something out.
Isn't that cool?
You're doing this because obviously Espoma sells their products at Chalet.
But I love these things. This is what I use in my own garden right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've converted everything to this because they are just such quality products, and they work. They work. This other one, and this is a really cool one. It's in the pink bottle, and it's the Earthtone.
So the first one was the green bottle.
That's the 4-in-1 weed control.
And then the blue bottle was the
insect control.
And then the pink bottle is.
But now the pink one, and it's titled 3-in-1 disease control. But look at this right here. It controls the fungus. okay? So like black spot on roses. You know how basil always gets those leaf spots if you put it out a little too early? And you just don't want to spray it because
like,
you want to
like
eat basil.
Like if you went out, put it out today, you'd get those little spots. Actually,
well, even if you put it out on Memorial Day, yeah. You know, because it hates temperatures below 40.
Yeah.
I mean, it's offended by temperatures below 40.
Offended.
You know? So you have to respect that, you know? So, and spray
you don't
want to
diss your basil.
No. Okay, but so now this has, okay, this kills the fungus, it kills insects, and it gets rid of spider mites. Okay, now there's not, pyrethrin doesn't take care of spider mites, but the sulfur does. So sulfur takes care, and see, the reason we can't call this organic is because it's got sulfur in it. You know, but sulfur is a naturally occurring element in our soils.
Yeah.
And so it's earth friendly.
So why can't it be called organic? What is it about sulfur that
the definition of organic means that it has to have been living and derived from a living element. Sulfur and copper are not.
Right.
But they're naturally occurring elements that work as abiotics to stop fungus and bacteria, and sulfur actually kills, you know, spider mites.
And so
this is 3-in-1. You know, this is, if you're only going to do one, this is the one you would have. It's so cool. And it's water-based.
I love it.
You can
she
spray
just goes
it
on
indoors.
Forever, you know?
You can spray it indoors. I spray it on my basil and wash it up and then eat my basil the next day. It's so cool.
That is.
It's way cool.
But I will point out something. That, hand me the bottle, the pink bottle.
There's a little Neudorf thing.
The little Neudorf
sign
on the back, but also on the front, keep out of reach of children, caution.
Well, they say that on baby shampoo.
Well, I know, but the point I'm making... So don't put baby shampoo on your plants, for God's sake.
Oh, I'm worried about kids. I thought you were worried about the children.
I am worried about the children. I'm just saying that... Even with a natural product, you have to read and follow label directions.
Oh, well, yeah, that's very important. I'm glad
and,
you said
and
that.
And if it says keep out of reach of children, do that. And then read the way you're supposed to apply it.
Well,
and
that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Always read the label. Even if you used it yesterday, read it again today.
That's the point I'm making.
Exactly. Very good. Okay.
Yeah, because even if it's natural, even if it's organic,
exactly.
There are a lot of organic products that are very toxic.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, here, I've got one right here.
Oh, good.
It's the rotenone.
Are you sure you want to be here?
It's
and
the rotenone.
Rotenone.
And actually, they're not going to have rotenone anymore after these things are gone. So if you love rotenone, and rotenone is like the pyrethrin on steroid. You know,
rotenone is what they threw into the canal to make the fish go belly up when they were looking for the Asian carp.
Well, that's okay, yeah, but that's kind of a hard way to say it. But that's true.
That's what it's used for.
Yeah.
It's to kill fish. I mean, that's one of its uses, right?
Well, not intentionally. That's just kind of a side effect.
That's
just a side effect.
Silly me.
Well, that's why it's dangerous. You don't want this to go into the water systems. So that's why you know this is toxic to humans though too. So you have to be really careful.
But it's
organic.
Right.
But it's organic.
Please don't open that.
It's organic. Well, there's our point.
Organic. And that's the example I always use is that rotenone is extremely toxic and yet it's organic. So just because something's organic doesn't mean that it's safe, all right? And you have to read and follow
labels.
You have
to be smart.
But yeah. And now, so you're saying that rotenone's going to go off the market, huh?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, I didn't realize that
the
was going to...
EPA's after it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And other chemicals, a lot of synthetics that
are... A lot of the organophosphates are going to be pulled away.
Yeah.
And gone.
They were developed in the 70s, right? Or came out into the market in organophosphates?
I think earlier than that.
Earlier?
They
were really
Rachel
popular.
Rachel Carson kind of was on top of that, you know, earlier.
I've heard people in the industry talk about how they're already preparing for their world without these products. And that things are going to change. I mean, things have already changed.
And it was too bad. If they were used appropriately, there wouldn't have been a problem. But people just didn't use them appropriately. So
that's human nature, you know.
Yeah.
And I say it over and over again. I said it yesterday when we had the screening of a chemical reaction downtown. The American way is if some is good, more is better, and that is a problem.
Well, unfortunately,
I
have to say you're right.
People, it's that way with fertilizer.
What's that with aspirin?
That's
true. People do that with aspirin, too.
You're right. Absolutely.
People have to understand chemistry, and that's the bottom line. If you don't understand chemistry. I was trained early on that if you know chemistry, you can dazzle anyone, and so I know chemistry.
And you do dazzle people.
And you know what? And they roll over.
You need chemistry to do that.
What a sweet guy. Isn't he adorable? Thanks.
Where are my waiters? Holy smokes.
I'm coming back every week.
Next time, bring the breakfast sandwiches, all right?
You know what? I'm so worried about Patty, because I'm worried that something happened to her.
You might want to explain what you're talking about here.
I get these killer breakfast sandwiches from this cute little diner in Skokie called Patty's. And I called this morning and there was no answer. I thought, she's really busy. So I thought I'll just drive over there. And she was closed. So I'm worried.
If anybody knows anything about Patty's, please give us a call. 773-838-9278.
Yeah, and her diner in Skokie.
Jennifer can rest easy.
Yeah, I'm
worried. All right, we need to take care of some business, speaking of business, and then we're going to talk about Earth Day, Earth Hour, which is next Saturday, maybe a little bit about World Water Day, which is Monday. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, and you're willing to, welcome to call at 773-838-WCPT. Now, last hour, I told you that Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines is a place to go for your spring gardening needs, like early spring vegetables. No, that does not mean tomatoes, so take that tomato cage and put it back in the garage right now. But there are a lot of veggies that like cool weather. Here's what you can find at Pesci's right now. Early dividend broccoli, jade cross Brussels sprouts, ruby red perfection cabbage. I hope you're writing all this down. Early and late cabbage, snow crown cauliflower, kale, which is good, has great iron content. And Jennifer's nodding because she's the chemist here in the room. Flowering cabbage and kale, kohlrabi, endive or endive, if you prefer it that way, escarole. And check out these lettuces, romaine, bib, black-seeded Simpson, butter crunch, mesclun mixture, red sails, and salad bowl. And they're all ready for you to pick up at SIDS. Pesci's, I'm sorry. And Pesci's also has both June and ever-bearing strawberries. All these items are free of sprays and fertilizers. Not only that, but they catch the rain and snow runoff and use that water to irrigate plants. Right on site at Pesci's. Now, as you see, they grow their own, so come to the grower where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. And once you have them in the ground, Pesci's carries Dr. Earth's probiotic 100% organic fertilizers. Now you're giving that a thumbs up, too.
It's a great one, too.
All right, and one of the things, Wally over at Pesci's is a huge fan of Dr. Earth.
It's great.
And in fact, we're going to be doing a broadcast out there in early May in their new center. They've got that new auditorium at Pesci's. And the Milo from Dr. Earth is going to be on the show. So he's like the Dr. Earth guru. And anyway, they have that 100% organic fertilizer for veggies, fruits, flowers, acid-loving plants, and the lawn. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off 294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Let's talk about getting rid of some critters.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's BOBBEX.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
I have a message from the webmaster, Jennifer. Your YouTube video is now up on my website. So let's see. Where did she put it there? Let me see. I probably have to refresh here. But we were talking earlier that Jennifer has a...
I'm on YouTube.
Yeah, I wonder if she did it on this week's show. Let's see. Let's see if it's there.
Oh, she put it on your website?
Oh, there it is. Yeah, she put it's right up there.
Wow,
it's
thank
your,
you. The,
so go to my this week at MikeNovak.net, and Jennifer's website is there. I tell you what, can you call? Go to my website there, Antonio, and we'll bring it up and see if we can listen to a little bit of it. And now it goes 7 minutes, so I'm not going to do the whole thing, but maybe just a little bit of that. Now it's here. It's just off the presses, the March-April edition of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Why do you need it? Well, if you're a gardener in Zone 5, and that's where we are, my question is, how can you live without it? For one thing, when you get this issue, you also receive the annual Chicagoland Gardening Resource Guide, which has information about garden centers, suppliers, arboreta, greenhouses, florists, and landscape design and installation services throughout the region. That alone is worth the price of admission. Now, do you like tulips? Who don't, especially deer? Then you need to see the story about the best varieties and how to grow them. There's another article about which bulbs play well with perennials. Then if I ask the question, got shade, many of you would say, well, yeah. So there's a story about woodland plants that will do great in those shady beds. You can find Chicagoland Gardening Magazine in newsstands all over the area, but here's what I suggest. Get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. And if you check out that Mike Guy's column this month, it's in the very back of the magazine, you might learn something about tomatoes and baseball.
And laugh a lot, too.
And what was that?
And laugh a lot, too. Oh, your articles are wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
I always laugh. They're great.
I appreciate it. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Anything's hard to change, but hey, I got you down on your knees again.
That's what we're talking about, insects, right?
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's right. The Mike Novak Show on WCPT, AM and FM. Jennifer Brennan has been sitting in with me all morning, and we've been talking all kinds of stuff. But I believe, I was going to tell you to get to our next guest. I'm sorry. I should have told you that. See? I'm sorry. What?
I have the YouTube video ready.
Oh, you got
for
the YouTube. Okay, let's run a little of that while you're giving Alicia a call. Okay, let's roll on that. Let's see what we got. And this is bug detective work at Chalet Nursery.
So we're here again at the Chalet Nursery, and they're having their garden fair, which is a really neat thing. And we're here with Jennifer, who is... Now, are you like the plant expert?
I'm the horticulture information specialist.
I knew that.
Isn't that a fun title? Isn't that a fun title?
Who's that doing the interview?
You know a lot about how to deal with problems with your plants.
Rorschach.
Jennifer has this really cool...
With Garden Fork. What's Garden Fork?
It's a blog and a garden...
And they can diagnose what's wrong with their plants. Because I really don't know a lot of times what's going on. And it gave me this light bulb idea that you have a very fancy... It's not a super... It's... Okay, let me start over again.
Okay. Three, two, one. At least
he bangs on that.
Microscope set up with a video adapter to a screen.
So anyway, there you go. That's part of the YouTube, and you have credibility with your son.
I do, because I'm actually on YouTube.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's all it takes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, one of the things that's happening this week is something called Earth Hour, and that's going to be this coming Saturday, all right? And what that is all about is and by the way, the link is on my website at MikeNovak.net. Well, I'll tell you what. Let us go to line Q and bring in Alicia Ontiveros. How you doing?
Hey there, Mike. How are you? Thank you for having me on your show.
It's great to have you. Now, one thing you need to know about, she's just yet one more person that I have met through Twitter. and I'm really not even tweeting on air today. I haven't even mentioned it because I got Antonio here instead of Heather, and I've trained Heather how to work the Twitter stuff, but Antonio doesn't usually do that with Dick Kay on Saturdays, and so I decided I wouldn't overload him with things, okay? So I have no idea whether anybody's tweeting it or trying to get a hold of me on Twitter today. It's, in fact, maybe while we're talking, I'll call it up and just see what we've got. But you and I met through that. But tell me about your blog site.
Sure. Well, my blog is called Eco Chicago, and it's ecochicago.blogspot.com. It's a Blogspot blog. I started it in 2009. I read the book A World Without Us by Alan Weisman, and it changed my life. And there are a lot of things that I didn't know about that I learned from in that book, and I felt like I needed to do my part. And so I started to transform different things that I was doing in my life. I didn't recycle regularly, for one thing. I would recycle when it was convenient for me. That totally changed. I started researching about that. I made videos to educate people about how to recycle in Chicago. I started visiting eco resources in the city, connecting with eco leaders, and making other videos to educate people about those resources. I started blogging about my own lifestyle changes, and it's kind of taken on a life of its own now. I've been doing it for over a year. It's so much fun. It's my passion. I had so much fun. And like you said, I started a Twitter account at EcoChicagoIL, and I met a lot of great people in the arena, including yourself. So it's been a great resource for me to get more connected to the green scene.
See, if you had children, you would be ultra cool because you do videos all the time on your site. That's one of the things that I need to get going on mine is get some videos out. But you also do a thing called EcoChat.
That's right.
Which, how long have you been doing EcoChat? And it's an online conversation with various people in the environmental community. How long have you been doing EcoChat?
EcoChat is a new endeavor for me. So I started EcoChat this year after the new year. It was one of my new year resolutions. My blog is really focused on Chicago resources, although I do try to talk about things that are applicable to people, you know, all over the country and even all over the world. But to further my reach and have more influence, I started EcoChat, which is a video-based web show. It's hosted by Vocal, which is a new web hosting site. It's kind of like Tiny Chat, but it's a little bit more sophisticated, in my opinion. So I host the show there.
As if I know what Tiny Chat is. So, but go ahead. Well, sorry.
Oh, sure. Well, it's embedded on my blog, so you don't really even have to know what Vocal is. You can just go to ecochicago.blogspot.com to watch. The very first show, I had a blogger, a thrift expert who blogs about the thrift market on the show, and she talked about the importance of, you know, eco-friendly shopping, and then we've talked about renewable energy, and this time on the show we're having an Earth Hour event, so I'm really excited about that.
And by the way, that link to your website is on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you can click right on it and find out where the EcoChat is going to be. Earth Hour, yeah. You know, I remember last year, this is the third year, I believe, for Earth Hour, isn't it, Alicia?
I think so, yeah. It started in Australia, if I have my facts right, and then it's been global for a few years now, and it hasn't been around that long.
No.
It has attracted the attention of millions and millions.
I first found out about it last year, and the idea is for an hour this Saturday, and it's all 8:30 local time throughout the world, so where, you know, it sort of goes in waves across the world. And apparently they say almost a billion people participated in it last year.
Right.
And you turn your lights off for about an hour. Now, I asked this earlier in the show, aside from saving energy, which it obviously does, if a billion people turn off their lights for an hour, it has an impact. But beyond that, what does it do is what I want to know. I mean, who are you talking to on your show tomorrow, and what do you think they're going to tell you about this?
Sure. Well, the guests I have on my show are Paul Conrad from ComEd. ComEd is sponsoring Earth Hour Illinois, so they're going to talk about why that's important for their company. We're also going to give tips about how you can improve your carbon footprint personally. I'm also having Steve Volk from Citizens Climate Lobby, which is an organization that mobilizes people in their own communities to fight climate change by connecting with their own elected officials. So those two people will be talking about climate change policy. They're going to be talking about the importance of the event, too. And, you know, you ask, what does it do besides saving some greenhouse gas emissions? I think that the main purpose behind the event is to create awareness. And I think it's a very powerful event. I can't think of a better way to unite the entire world in a common cause for one day. You know, I think it's powerful. I think it's it reaches a lot of people. And I think, in my opinion, what it does is really educate young people about climate change, about how doing little things can add up for a big difference. And I think, you know, anyone involved in the green community knows that's true.
I guess, you know, maybe it does have that effect in getting people aware of the problem. I guess my fear is that the next day they move on with their lives and
right.
They're not shutting off their lights
right.
for another hour tomorrow, the next day, or, you know, next Sunday.
I definitely understand where you're coming from. And I think it's important then to have, you know, conversations like Eco Chat, where we can get a little bit deeper beyond just the action of turning your lights off for an hour. I think the show is going to help really explain the meaning behind the event and give people, empower them with more knowledge about climate change and have the opportunity to actually ask these people questions. I mean, when is the, you know, when you're going to have another opportunity to actually ask a representative from ComEd about their plan to invest in green technology? Or, you know, I mean, they're part of Exelon. They have the Exelon 2020 program, which is a mission to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions up until, you know, a landmark, I think, reduction by 2020. So anyway, people who watch, I mean, you can just go to the blog and you can just watch, and that's awesome. But if you want to participate more, you can actually join the event if you have a Twitter account, or you can just create a Vocal account in about 3 seconds. Doesn't take any time. You can sign in and then actually submit questions to the chat. I'll be taking them throughout the hour of the show. And then there's a chat box where you can talk to other people who are also logged in and comment and create a community around the dialogue that we're going to have.
Now, that chat that you're having is tomorrow evening?
That's right.
At 8 p.m.?
At 8 o'clock Central, yes.
Central. And, you know, and it got to keep all these times straight, because tomorrow the chat about Earth Hour and the chat tomorrow on your blog site is at 8 p.m. Central. And then Earth Hour is next Saturday, and that's 8:30 p.m. And for an hour, the idea is to turn off the lights. I'll tell you one thing. In my neighborhood, we've had the power go out a number of times, so I'm used to having candles on in the house. I don't know how that happens in a big city. I used to have a vacation home out in the Pacific Northwest, and the power would go out all the time. But since we've moved to Logan Square, we've had the power go out at least 3 or 4 times, and I'm thinking, how does this happen in a big city? You know? You know? But that's... Yeah, sometimes you got to be ready for that. I mean, I think that's another message that gets across. You don't know how vulnerable we really are, or you really are, until you don't have electricity.
Right.
And then you become aware of, well, wait a second. How do I get things done without
right,
electricity?
Everything that you take for granted.
Everything
sure.
you take for granted. And maybe that is one of the powerful messages to get across with Earth Hour.
Absolutely. Are you going to be celebrating Earth Hour?
I probably will. I don't think, you know what, the problem is, I'm working on my show usually about that time on a Saturday night, putting the stuff together for Sunday morning. And if I have to take an hour off, it means I don't get to bed till 1 a.m. So, which means I got to get it done ahead of time. So I'm going to try to plan for that. I usually try to plan for it. It doesn't always work. Alicia Ontiveros, thank you so much. Again, you can go to Eco Chicago, which is, your, site, your blog.
Right.
And the link is on my page, or go to ecochicago.blogspot.com. And the Eco Chat will be tomorrow at 8 p.m. And if you've got a Twitter account, you can participate. And if you don't, it's real easy to sign up, as you said, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it. And
thank you.
Let me know how it goes, okay?
I will.
I'm going to try to log in myself tomorrow and see what's going on.
Great, and I'll archive it. For anyone who misses it, I will record the show and archive it so you can check it out on my blog later.
Fabulous. All right, take care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Mighty House comes up at 10 o'clock. We're going to get back to, we got a Sue with a bug slash insect question,
cool.
Which we're going to get to in a second. Now, we've talked about some of these products during the show today. There was a time when maintaining a lush green lawn meant choosing between harsh chemicals or natural alternatives that didn't work. Well, not anymore. Espoma, maker of Holytone, maker of a couple of those products, maker of Earth Tone in the pink bottle and Biotone. You know, look for the, if you got the word tone after it, it's probably Espoma. They also have Espoma Organic Weed Preventer to help prevent tough weeds like crabgrass and dandelions from establishing in the spring. Now, their secret really isn't such a secret. I've talked about corn gluten meal on my show for years. Corn gluten meal is a byproduct from the production of cornstarch for food, but for some reason, it helps to keep seeds from germinating properly, including weed seeds. Simply spread Espoma Organic Weed Preventer as recommended when you see the forsythia start to pop. That's about right, isn't
exactly.
it,
Exactly.
And then again at the end of the summer. It will keep weeds like crabgrass, foxtail, and purslane from getting started on your lawn, although I tell you, I consider purslane kind of nice, but, you know.
You can eat it, too.
Yeah, I know. You can put it on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But some people don't want it in their lawns, and while it won't kill perennials like dandelions, it will keep their seeds from germinating, which means that the longer you use Espoma Organic Weed Preventer, the fewer weeds you will see. And here's a bonus. Espoma Organic Weed Preventer includes 100% natural organic nitrogen. But it doesn't overload your lawn with nitrogen, which can wash into the water table. And because it's organic, it's safe for your kids and pets immediately. For more information, visit Espoma.com, E-S-P-O-M-A.com. And while you're there, join the Espoma Garden Club. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. Now, we need a tip from the Care of Trees. It's spring. Hard to believe, but it's spring. But you know that it's time to prune your trees, right? Well, not so fast. What kind of trees are we talking about? For instance, are they small ornamental trees that bloom in the spring? If so, you need to wait until after they bloom. Otherwise, you're just cutting off the flowers. But what about if your tree has dead or winter damaged limbs? That's a different story. You might want to get them removed before your tree leaves out this spring. The point is that different trees require different care at different times of the year, which is why it doesn't hurt to work with a professional arborist like those at the Care of Trees. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years, putting you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. I just lost my place. Just totally went blank here for a second, isn't it? Anyway, give them a call at 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Let's try a little music. Jennifer's telling me about a really cool guy, Care of Trees.
Yeah, Jeff Hoover. But he works exclusively on chalet retail customers' trees and our chalet landscape customer trees.
Wow.
But it's a collaborative with Care of Trees.
That's great.
Is that cool?
And it's a great company, and they're
yeah.
great people.
They really are.
And they're just so nice, you know?
And knowledgeable.
Knowledgeable and helpful,
man.
All those great things. All right, we do have a question. Let's go to line one. Sue, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show very much, and I'm listening to your show every Sunday.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. My question is, I have an African violet indoor
okay.
for like almost a year. all of a sudden I found the all the dirts are covered with a white worm. It's like 1 millimeter length. It's a white. And so I sprayed with a insecticide from seed, and it was just jumping. And I covered it with a plastic bag for overnight. And as soon as I moisturized the dirt, it comes right back. So I was wondering, do I just discard the plants, or just, can I do other way?
Let's recap. You've got a white worm, and it
sounds like a springtail. Do they flip around when you water? You know, and do they kind of flip around on the soil?
It crawls in like a worm. It crawls
like a worm. And what did you apply? You said you sprayed.
I spray with the insecticide from seed for indoor plants. So I sprayed it's over the dirt.
Okay.
And it started to jump. And then I covered it with and then I see some of them are going into the dirt, crawling.
Right, because they live in the soil. And each time you water, they come to the surface, and you see them up on the surface. And, it sounds to me like it's springtails. That's the most common thing with African violets. And there are so many of them that are down in the soil. If you have a collection of plants, the main thing you want to do is isolate that one from the other plants, because it can be spread to the other plants pretty easily.
Okay. And it already.
It has already.
So the other plants have springtails too?
Yes. So the other ones, I spray a couple times, in a row, and then it just disappeared. But this particular plant is full of it.
Right. I'm glad that you're considering, that if you keep applying your insecticide and it doesn't do anything, you're considering maybe disposing the plant, because that's probably the safest if it has the highest population. That was probably the source of the problem, and, it probably spread to all the other plants from that. But you can just keep doing that, the insecticide. I would love to know what the active ingredient is that you're using, but most of the ones that are available, out on the market are either pyrethrin-based or permethrin-based, which is a synthetic pyrethrin. And it's a contact, but you do have to keep reapplying that to make sure. Now, there are systemic insecticides that, if this is a plant that you got from your grandmother and you just don't want to get rid of it, you can go and get a systemic and apply that, and it stays in the soil, and the plant absorbs it, and it stays in the plant for 8 weeks. So, oftentimes if you don't want to use the chemicals and it's not a plant that has you're not connected to it emotionally, then I would just keep using your insecticidal spray. And I loved hearing that you covered it with a plastic bag and just let, because that helps hold the insect control in around and the atmosphere of the insect. And so you're going to kill more that way. So you're doing the right things.
Oh, great.
And just stay on it.
So, yeah. Okay, another question is, I also grow ficus.
Okay.
New leaves are coming out.
Right.
And I see the rust spots on one particular plant.
Rust spots on the plant?
It's like a rust sprinkle all over the leaves, new leaves.
Is it a fuzzy rust color, or is it just a spotting on the foliage, on the leaves?
Spot all over, and then it become deformed after I spray with the same insecticide.
Without knowing what you're actually spraying, I'm going to stop talking about that insecticide because oftentimes what's happening with ficus trees right now, or the fig trees right now, is plants are the best. They understand that the days are getting longer and the light intensity is getting brighter and stronger and so they're putting the new growth into the plants. And what happens is they balance their checkbooks, and it's just kind of, they say, okay, where's all of our energy? And they're saying, we have only so many roots to support so much top growth. And if I've got new growth coming on, and I don't have a lot of new space for my roots to grow, I have to take energy from the old leaves. And oftentimes those old leaves look like they're getting spots on them or rusty colors on them, but the plant is just taking, and the one nutrient they can move around is the nitrogen. So it'll take it from the old leaves and give it to the young guys, because the young guys are younger and stronger and they can create more food when they photosynthesize. And they'll say, okay, you old guys, you've got to jump overboard, but before you go, empty your pockets. So they take their nitrogen, give it to the young guys, and then they cut them off. You know, they cut off the vascular system, and then those leaves yellow and or turn rust color. So I don't think you have an active disease. You just have a plant that's going into a new growth phase because it's sensing the new strong sunlight and the longer days, and it's just balancing its checkbook.
But I observed the old leaves are fine. There's no problem. It's a new growth gets all these rust spots. I mean,
is that still the case then? Even yes. I'm actually asking Jennifer. So you're just saying
the new leaves are the ones that are getting these spots, then that could probably be a disease. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? If you can take some of the leaves that have the rusty spots, you know, on them, and drop them in the mail to me at Chalet Nursery. I can put them under the microscope, and I can give you an accurate diagnosis from that.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So it's and that's at Chalet Nursery.
Yes.
It's 3132.
3132.
Lake Avenue.
Lake Avenue.
In Wilmette, Illinois.
Wilmette.
60091.
00091.
Put attention Jennifer on the envelope, and it'll come straight to me, and I'll throw it on the microscope, and then I can diagnose it and call you and give you a really accurate diagnosis.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Thank you, because I love this plant.
Okay, well, we'll try to save
it for
you.
We'll take care of it for you.
And I'll tell you what, Sue.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes.
And when she does that, I'll have her contact me, and then I can let folks know what we found with the plant.
Oh, that would be great. I know a lot of people are growing this.
Okay, great.
I'll take photos, too.
All right, great.
Okay.
Sue, thank you for calling. I really appreciate
you
listening to the show.
Thank you.
Keep up the good show.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, in case you missed it, and it was easy to miss, spring started yesterday, but don't be fooled by Mother Nature. Spring is really here, and you need to get ready to garden. And Sid's Greenhouses is ready to help you get started. If you haven't gotten your seeds started yet, now's the time. Sid's still has a good selection of the best varieties, including USDA Organics. And if you don't have a yard to plant in, this is a great recommendation. Consider an earth box, the world's most revolutionary garden system. I've got a couple of them myself, and they're really cool. Use it to grow all sorts of vegetables or flowers with less fertilizer, less water, and certainly less effort. Now, if you're more of a tree person, it's a great time to check out the selection of fruit trees at SIDS. Shop early for the best selection. SIDS is Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and they're located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard. For more information or to join their free email list for news, garden tips, and sale information, visit SIDS online. SIDSonline.com. And one of the things you're going to find at SIDS when you go there is a company called Jonathan Green. About the time that Abraham Lincoln was president, this guy, Jonathan Green, was already working on how to grow a better lawn. That knowledge has been passed down through the generations to the family members who run the company today, and they've been working to create the new American lawn. We're really changing the way we do this in America for the better. These lawns use less fertilizer, they're drought tolerant, and more disease and insect resistant. For instance, their Black Beauty grass seed mixture is a breakthrough in turf grass breeding. It uses tall fescues that are the darkest green turf grasses on the market today. The Natural Beauty All Organic Lawn Fertilizer contains 25% humates, the best food source for the beneficial microbes in the soil, and will feed your lawn for up to 10 weeks per application. Also, it has no phosphorus, which can cause water quality problems. These are just some of the great products from Jonathan Green. To find out more about the Jonathan Green story, log on to jonathangreen.com and register to receive the Jonathan Green newsletter. You can find Jonathan Green, that's spelled J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Jonathan Green products at Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais, Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfurt, and, of course, Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Palos Hills.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Something else that you can find at really good garden centers like Chalet and Sid's and Pesci's, Bonites repels all, a natural animal repellent that repels all types of animals like deer, rabbits, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, raccoons, and many other undesirable, well, you know, undesirable if they're chomp.
It works so well.
What's that?
That works so well. I love that stuff.
Great. See? If Jennifer approves it,
oh, man,
you know it's good. Now, Repelzol works three different ways: smell, taste, and as an irritant. Unlike other repellents you might have used in the past, Repelzol does not have an unpleasant odor, at least not to you. And Bonite's Repelzol will last up to 2 months, and it's rain fast in just 6 hours. You can apply all natural Repelzol to trees, shrubs, perennials, even around edible crops. And this product is also great to use anywhere you have animals chewing on structures or fences. Let's put it this way. This is one of the most effective animal repellents you will ever use. Repelzol is available at these fine stores: Prestige Nursery Garden Center in West Chicago, Schaefer Greenhouse in Montgomery, Illinois. Do you know how to pronounce this? Is it Bukimas? I had this the other week, and I don't. It's in, they're in Plainfield, they're in Naperville.
I don't know that one.
It's Ace Hardware. I have to get the pronunciation on that.
I don't know.
Or go to Bonite.com for a dealer near you, or to see Bonite's full product listing. All right, we're in the home stretch here on the Mike Novak Show. I want to thank Jennifer Brennan for being here today.
Thank you.
In case I don't get back to that, but from the Chalet, and I've got the link on my website, or you just go to chaletnursery.com.
Exactly.
Antonio, thanks, man, for dropping in and
not
helping.
No problem, Mike.
Helping, and you might have learned a couple of things.
I learned a lot today.
All right, here's something you're going to learn.
Cool.
This is pretty funny. I just got this email. Karen just sent this in. She writes, many years ago, my brother, who was an organic farmer, told me when it was right to plant corn. He said, the Native Americans never seemed to fail crop, and they knew exactly when to plant their seeds. They would go out into the field, drop their pants, and sit on the ground bare butt, and if they could sit there more than 15 minutes without getting cold, it was time to plant the corn.
Oh, we're going to try that, huh?
I'm going out today to do it. Now, I don't know how true this really is, but I thought you would enjoy it.
This will be on YouTube shortly.
Mike learning to plant corn. And watching out for rats in the process.
The Native American way.
Lordy.
Is that Earth Friendly Natural?
I think it might be. Oh, my goodness.
You can leave some fertilizer there while you're at it, too.
Oh, my.
Any quick tips for folks as we head into this up and down weather that we're having right now?
Well, you know, just, you know, don't plant too early. We have a saying at Chalet that if you plant early, you may have to plant often.
Yeah.
You know, so use your patience and if you want to get started, you know, do containers. Do some containers early because you can always move those inside if we get another heavy snowfall. So that's always a neat trick. And that helps get your green fever, you know, taken care of.
All right, here's one more email from longtime listener and my buddy, Dan Costa, who works at Vern Goer's Greenhouses.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, hi, Mike. The Earth Tone Canola Pyrethrum Spray is great.
All right.
I used some on mealybugs on a houseplant, and the mealies not only died, but they fell off. I was shocked. I had never seen dead mealies actually fall off before. I like selling it to customers as it's pretty safe to use. If you like purslane, I have plenty of it in my garden. It's one of the most abundant weeds. You're welcome to my harvest anytime. And he says, good show today, actually talking gardening. Well, come on, pal. I got to talk other stuff occasionally. But
that was cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I know Dan. He wants me to be talking strictly
all
gardening.
All garden, yeah. You know, me too.
24/7. Well, that's
me
why
too,
you were here,
too,
you know? And I appreciate you stopping by.
Can't talk enough garden.
Yeah. Well, if you want to some of the best information, get over to the Chalet and visit Jennifer.
Thank you.
Tell her that you heard about it on the show. And tell, when you go to Chalet, tell them you're up there because you heard me talk about him on the show and that Jennifer was here. All right, Mighty House is coming up on Chicago's Progressive Talk. I saw Joe Builder here earlier and Ron Cowgill, and they're going to be here till noon. And I hope that next week, I'm not even sure what I'll be talking about next week, but it probably have something to do with gardening, and I hope you tune in then.